But it is so true, and we're so unworthy. And it just amazes me every time I think about the Lord's grace and how good He is. It's amazing to think about any maybe thought of pride or thought of self that enters into my mind. And it just brings me to my knees so many times to think of any ability or capabilities that we think we have in this life, but none of it is ours. It's all from God, and there's a movement amongst people today, and young people especially. There's this movement even in our Christian churches to be cool and to just be lifted up in pride. And it's amazing the egos that fill our pulpits today. And just the egos that sit in the pews today, and the selfishness and the pride. And when you think about the grace of God, and you think about God and His sovereignty and how mighty He is and how loving He is, it just breaks all of that down. It just makes none of that even matter. And it just shows me how sinful I am and unworthy to do anything for Him, and yet he lets us. That's the thing. He lets us. And I was sitting in a service, church service, not too long ago, and I was at Lakewood Baptist Temple, where my brother's the assistant pastor, and I had a free Wednesday night where I didn't have to go out and preach, and so I decided to go. And Pastor Fountain, my good friend, he's known me since I was born. He was a pastor in Greeley, Colorado. And just a wonderful friend, and just he's been. Oh, I interned for him for a summer, and just such an encouragement to me. And sometimes when I needed some encouragement as a preacher, or as, you know, a young man trying to get into the ministry, he was always there to encourage me, and I just love him so much. But he was out of town, and they were having a layman preach. And I went, and here's some of that pride I was just telling you about. And I'm expecting, well, it's just a layman. So I'm thinking, well, you know, who knows what the Lord, what we're going to get out of this thing tonight. And, I think it'll be. But right off the bat, God just hit me hard. And He seems to do that. Anytime you come to church and think, well, maybe, I'm off the hook tonight, that's always when God gets you. But He said something just... It's actually but what I'll try to say so many, many times, but He put it down into a very, very simple formula, simple form. And he said we keep getting it backwards today. He said we keep getting it backwards. We have all these people that when they get saved, they immediately just try to do right and try to serve the Lord. And you know, it is good to try some of that. But he said we have it backwards. We immediately have all these people that just want to go out and serve the Lord. But there's a formula in God's Word that there's a period of growth that is supposed to take place. And he said this. He said that this is the way that it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be like this. I know Him, I know God, and I know Him through His Word. His Word teaches us about Him. We know Him through His Word, and we know Him through time spent with Him, and time spent in His Word. And because we know Him, we know He's all-powerful, we know that He is love, and we know all the great things about Him. Because we know Him, and because we know that He first loved us, then we love Him. Because we know Him, we love Him. Because we know Him, we love Him. And because we love Him, we serve Him. Because we love Him, we serve Him. And so I believe that there are so many Christians today that are trying to serve the Lord, and really, a lot of it's just the flesh. It's just the things done in the flesh, and some of these things, good things, they're maybe working in the church or doing this thing, but they're doing it maybe for man's service, so that men can see, for eye service, so that men can see them and praise them for their works. But true service is done out of love for God. And love for God only comes from knowing God and finding out that, hey, He really loves us, and He's been good to us. And that is so very true. And I think it's a mistake that's being made in so many lives today that, and I, as I see, in Bible college, it was very amazing how many people came into Bible college and said, God wants me to be in full-time ministry. And then after the first year, they were nowhere to be found. Now, a certain percentage of those, of course, God maybe moved on to ministry already or moved on to another Bible college. But most of those, and I could go through name after name, every time I get around somebody that went to college with me, will say, well, what happened to this person? Usually one of us knows, and like, they're not in the ministry now, and they're just working a job or something, and it blows my mind. Here they are at Bible college, learning to go in the ministry, and then something happens. Something happens, and it always blows my mind when I see young people that have been raised in church their entire life fall by the wayside. When I came over here, I was in Yakima, and I went and picked up a young man, 16 years of age, me and my brother, and brought him in and took him to Gene's Steakhouse. Do you remember Gene's? Gene's is a great place. Yeah, it's a good old Gene's Cottage. I think $12.99 ribeye, and it's a nice big old ribeye and very good place. But we took him out and bought him a steak. And this young man I've known since he was a little boy. His parents are good Christian parents. His grandfather's an evangelist. Probably recognize his name, some of you, if I mentioned him tonight. Grandfather's an evangelist. His other grandfather is involved in all kinds of works and is a builder and goes around and helps build churches sometimes and different things. Just a wonderful Christian heritage. And 16, and he's in Wapato. He's in south or north there of Yakima. And he's there, and he just ran away a few weeks ago from his house, from his Christian home. He ran away because his parents were going to make him go to a Christian school. And we're going to make him go to a Christian school. Now, it was a little bit late at 16 to say, hey, he's getting pretty bad. We ought to make him go to Christian school. But they're trying to make him go to Christian school. And he told me and my brother, straight face, said that he didn't want to go to Christian school because he knew that some of the things he did would not fit in at that Christian school. And he's gotten into marijuana and into drinking. And he's only 16 years of age. And this has all happened in the last year. He got the wrong influences around him and surrounded by, the wrong influence. And for years and years and years, he was in Sunday school. For years and years and years, he was going with his parents on visitation and he was doing and serving there in the church as a teenager. And then all of a sudden, he's gone. And I submit to you tonight that it's because he was serving the Lord without first loving Him. And without first knowing Him. And so there's a foundation that we need to build our faith upon. And sometimes it requires us as a Christian, hey, we've been Christians for a year, for 2 years, for 5 years, for 10 years. Sometimes it requires us tearing down a little bit and trying to rebuild our Christian lives. If we've built it the wrong way, don't you think we ought to break it down and start over and start building again? Let me ask you tonight, and this was a thought that the Lord was working on my mind with this today, is pursuing God important? Is knowing God important? Is searching after God important? And I want to ask this question, and I said that we've done a little preliminary work. Sunday morning, of course, you need to be saved in order to pursue God. And we've tried to do some preliminary work, and last night the veil is rent and it's open and free for us to have an amazing relationship with God as individuals. And I think that's important to realize whenever you study the Word of God that a lot of times the Word of God talks about mankind or a group of people, and you have to realize that mankind and a group of people is made up of individuals. So you need to take the Word of God personally. personally. And so many times we're here preaching and we read the Word of God and we think, wow, yeah, those Israelites were really messing up there. But what we need to be doing is asking God, Lord, am I making the same mistake that they're making? Turn to Hosea, please, in chapter number 10. I just begin to think about, is searching out and searching after God, is pursuing the Lord and a relationship with Him, is that important? Or when you get saved, does it all just happen for you? Does it all just, you know, is it important? And I would be amazed. I wish we could go around tonight, and I wish we could go to Josh's co-workers and ask them some questions and ask, clarify their Christians, and then ask them, do you think that a Christian can know God in a personal way? I'd like to ask some Christians that question and just see the response. Just see the response, and maybe some would say yes. Maybe some would say yes, and then we would ask them, well, do you know God in a personal way? And I would like to see what their answer is then. But I wanted to know, is searching after God, is seeking God important? Well, according, you know, Hosea thought so, and chapter number 10 of Hosea, in verse 12, it says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. And I like to just think that Hosea is just saying, you need to get right with God, is what he's saying. You need to get right with God. Break up your fallow ground. But look at what it says. For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. It is time to seek the Lord, is what he was saying. So I believe that Hosea thought it was pretty important. Did David think it was important? Turn to 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. Did David think it was important? Let me find it here myself. I thought it... Oh, I do have it marked. That's what this little ribbon's for, huh? All right. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. And Lord, this was one, most of these verses that I had already planned to share with you today, this is a new one for me. Look at verse 9, and I know I've read it before, but you know how God just does that. It says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou God. He told Solomon, his son, to know God. To know God, and look at what it says. And because he knows him, guess what he's going to do? Know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Do you think tonight that David thought it was important to know God? To seek after God. He's telling his son here, he's really giving him the advice that the one thing that David, I'm sure, wants to leave with Solomon is that he needs to know God, to search after Him. And Solomon did do that, didn't he? And guess what he found? He found God. And God said, what do you want, Solomon? And he said, I'll have some wisdom, Lord, please. And God said, since you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you all these other things. And because of this verse, because of what David said here. Can you imagine if he would have not taken David's advice and he forsook God, he will cast thee off forever. We may not have the book of Proverbs. But David thought it was important to search after God, to know Him. He said, know thou God, know thou the God of thy father. But these are both in the Old Testament, and just for those that think that maybe the Old Testament doesn't apply any more to us than the New Testament, let's go to Acts in chapter number 17. Let's see if Paul thought it was important. Acts in chapter number 17. And I just saw a picture today, and Brother Tucker was out preaching on Mars Hill. No, I'm just kidding. He was close to it anyways. But look at verse 26. And Paul's delivering this amazing sermon on Mars Hill. And God just gave him a great example. The altar to the unknown God. And he's preaching to him. And look at verse 26. And this really is an amazing verse in verse 26 and 27. And hath made... of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Look at this. This is the reason He made man, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us, that they may seek the Lord. It's amazing. Paul's saying, this is, this is the very thing we were created for. But I like in that verse how he says, they should seek Him, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him. And then he says to all of them, though He be not far from any of us, remember that veil was rent. He wasn't far away from those. They just needed to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then they could get to know God all that they wanted to. Start seeking after God. Oh, it is important to seek after God. Turn to Philippians, and I found that we could go all night just looking at verses about seeking after the Lord. It's amazing how many every man of God in the Bible sought the Lord. And let's look at Philippians 3 and verse 10. Paul says, that I may know Him, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. See, one of Paul's goals in his life was to know God, was to be close to God, to pursue after God. And so I hope that, the Scripture is enough tonight for you to see that we need, as God's people, to seek after Him. I said God's people, but you need to search after Him. You need to seek after Him. I need to do this. I need to pursue after God. I need to get to know God. It's the greatest opportunity that we have as human beings, and yet it is so far from so many Christians today. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. And I think that's tomorrow night's message. But let's go on. Let me just give you some practical things out of the Word of God. I'm not going to take much more of your time tonight. But let me give you a few practical things. Some things that it takes. Let me show you what the Bible says about searching after God, how we're supposed to do it out of some biblical examples. One of my favorite verses, Jeremiah 29:13. Jeremiah 29:13. You don't need to turn there if your thumbs are getting tired. But it says in Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. When ye shall search for me with all your heart. And then I'm going to look at Psalms in chapter number 42. Psalms 42. And this is one of my favorite verses. And I'll give you a little bit of the background first. Absalom has run David, Absalom has run David, his father, out of the kingdom. He's trying to take the kingdom from David. And David is out in the wilderness. And you read a few, he wrote some psalms out there in the wilderness. In fact, this is one of them, Psalms in chapter 42. This is one of the psalms that he wrote while he was fleeing his own son. And I like to point out in these psalms that you don't hear him saying, oh, I wish I could be with my son. Or I wish, this didn't happen to me. I wish that this thing... No, this is what he says. Look at verse 1. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? That was his desire. That was his longing. And you think about it, it says as the heart, and that's actually a deer. It's a deer. As the heart panteth after the water brooks. And if you know anything about deer, if you've ever hunted them before, I'm sorry, but I like to hunt. And elk are kind of the same way. But what deer do is they go in the daytime and they sleep. they snooze. And so when you're hunting them in the day, you just trample around in the woods and hope that you wake some of them up and they run, and then I won't tell you what comes next. But, you know, they go and they sleep in the day, and they wake up and they begin to eat and feed, and in parts like New Mexico, places like New Mexico, at the evening time, you always know where to find the deer because there isn't a lot of water around. So if you find water, you find deer and bear and everything else that's in the woods. And so, they're there and they're eating and they're starting to get a little thirsty. And they're starting to get thirstier and thirstier. And if they don't find water, that's the only thing that, you know, is on their mind. And think how you would be if you went without water for a little while. I just want you to understand what he's trying to say here. As the heart panteth after the water brooks. There comes a time, with that deer that there's only one thing he's thinking about, and that's to get a fresh drink of water. And David's saying, there, and he's fleeing for his life from his only son. And he's not saying, I wish I could be with my son. He's saying, I wish I could be with my God. I wish I could, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so thirsteth, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. Oh, if we had some Christians with that mentality, that were hungry and thirsty for God, and that's the first thing simply that I want to that I'm preaching to you tonight, is that it takes a thirsty and hungry heart to know God. It's this way because he wants to know who's serious. He wants to know who's serious about him. And you're not gonna find God. You're not gonna have the relationship with him. Just with the mediocre life that we're so prone to living. Just going through life and going to church and just, walking through life. Nothing happening really. And yeah, we're Christians and we know the truth and all these things. But the ones that are going to find God, that are going to be known, that God is going to be known to them, and that are going to know Him, and because they know Him, they're going to love Him, and because they love Him, they're going to serve Him with all their hearts, are those that hunger and thirst after God. Like David said, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God. You think of a man, maybe in the desert, and he's without water. I was this summer, and I don't know why I just thought of this story, but just this summer, we went to this place, coming back to the camp, and it was called the Maupai. Anybody know what Maupai means? It's not like a cow pie, it's Maupai. Maupai. What Maupai is, in New Mexico, there were all these volcanoes, and they blew up, and the lava came out of them, okay? I'm just trying to make this simple. And the lava flowed, and as it flowed, the lava got hard. And so all over New Mexico, the Indians named it Maupai. I think it means Valley of Fires or something. And so it's interesting, because you see all these swells, and it kind of looks like an ocean. Like you see the swells, but it's all hard. It's black rock. And so we were walking out. I was walking out there, and we're supposed to find some lava falls. And you know, it was just a place where there were big swells of lava. And we're walking out there, and it was so hot with that New Mexico sun beating down on that black. I couldn't imagine being, you know, in the pioneer days. And I've heard stories where Indians used to use that to hide, and they had all these caves and everything, and that you wouldn't go in there because the outlaws and the Indians would kill you because they had it all figured out. And it's very, you can't ride a horse through it or anything like that. But as we begin to walk, oh, I just started to get so thirsty. It was so hot out there, and I don't remember if I had any water. It was kind of one of those things where you didn't really plan for it. It just kind of happened, you know. And so we were out there, and I had my quartet with me, and they're all getting thirsty and tired. And I'm like, see where I lead you? Right into this place where we're all going to get really thirsty, maybe dehydrate. And so, but I got so thirsty. And in our area, there's maybe 3 gas stations and, you know, on 120 miles. And so we got so thirsty. And I remember we finally got to that first gas station. And I don't care about getting gas. I didn't care about eating. I didn't care about anything. All I cared about was going in and getting a Propel water. with a little bit of lemon in it. That's all I cared about. But you think of somebody out in the desert and they're about to die. What's the number one thing on their mind? Water. Water. So what you think of a Christian with the same attitude? I think it was John Knox that used to say, "Lord, give me Scotland or I die." And you think of a Christian where this is how we're supposed to seek the Lord and search after Him. This is how He's found. When we search after Him as the heart panteth for the water brooks, when we're truly hungry and thirsty after God, that's when He is to be found. He said, "I'll pour water on he that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground." He said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And we think that our little devotion or something like that is going to cut it. We think that our little 5-second prayer before breakfast, that's seeking God. I'm on the same boat with you many times. I forget about seeking after the Lord with all my heart. But so many times there's so many Christians out there that they're not seeking God the way the Bible says He ought to be sought. They're not seeking God like this. He said, "Ye shall search for me and find me when ye have searched for me with all your heart." So I know this from the Bible. And it repeats itself all over in the Psalms and throughout Scripture. But God takes this very seriously. If you want to know God, if you want to pursue after Him, you can't take it lightly. It's going to take more than the little devotional, and I love devotionals. I love I read through the Treasuries of David. That's one of my favorite devotional by Spurgeon. I love devotionals, and I love to read the Daily Bread and different things, and I love to read the Word of God. I love to study the Word of God, and I love all these things. But there has to come a point in time in our day where we're searching after the Lord, spending time with Him. Oh, how sad it must make God to see day after day after day go by and doesn't hear anything from us. How sad that must be in His eyes. I know also from the Word of God in John chapter 4 and verse 10. You don't have to turn there if your thumbs are getting tired. But John chapter 4 and verse 10, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. And He said, "God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." And I want to go to the verse before that also, but He said in verse 23, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship." You know why that He said the hour cometh? Because the veil is rent. To worship Him in spirit, that's what I have living inside me, and truth is the Word of God. That's how you worship God. See, this book is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's not the end. It doesn't end by reading the Word of God, but it's the light to the end. So you read it and it shows you what to do. And you read it and it shows you how God wants to be worshipped. And do you know the definition of worship? To crouch, to kneel, to bow. Do you know what worship is? And we think worship is this. And swaying back and forth and all that. And I believe the worship has to do with the heart, and I'm not saying it's just the outside. But what you believe, I heard Pastor say this not too long ago, I think to someone on the door, what you believe, it dictates your actions. And so if you have a heart of worship, and you truly want to worship God, your body is soon to follow suit. And you get down before Him, down on your face before the Lord, and that's worship. And then you get to praise Him. You get to say, thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God, for all the blessings you give me. And I praise your name. And you get to sing songs to him. And you get to get on your face and worship him. And guess what? You just had a time of praise and worship. But they that worship him must worship him in spirit. And so here's the problem. Ephesians 5. And I'm going to look at this. You can look at this with me unless your thumbs are getting tired. Lord gave me a lot of scripture tonight. And there's a lot more that we could bring into it tonight. I mean, the Word of God is just so good. But look at this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so they cannot do the things that ye would, like no God. And so here's why it's so hard to worship God the way He wants to be worshipped, to know Him in spirit. This is why it's so hard. Because we get down and we have a traitor with us, and he's the flesh. It's the old man. It's these things around us, these physical things that are just here for a time. They're not everlasting, but we're all surrounded and we're wrapped up in this world of flesh. We see it every day, and we feel it every day, and we smell it every day, and we taste it every day, and we hear it every day, and all these things. But God isn't worshipped with this flesh. He's worshipped in spirit. And so we go before Him, we bow before Him, and we come into His throne room, and we do it through spirit. We worship Him through spirit. And there's a whole spiritual realm that we're totally unaware of. But here's what I want to say. The people that are more wrapped up in the things of the flesh are going to have a hard time worshiping God in the Spirit. And when you get down and you worship God, and you're there in His presence, and His Spirit is communing with your spirit. That's what it is. You're having a time of fellowship. And remember, don't let the false doctrines steal this from us. Don't let them say, you have to worship Him in spirit. And so that means you have to, dance around and all these things. Don't let them steal those verses from us. Preachers don't like to preach on those verses because of all the false doctrine that's out there today. But Jesus said that those that are going to worship Him must worship in spirit. And so you get down on your face before the Lord. And here, let me just give you some practical things. Some practical things that I do that maybe will help you. Yeah, you pray. You speak to the Lord. You speak to God. You just speak to Him and tell Him your needs. You confess your sin. That's very much a part of it. Prayer is very much a part of seeking the Lord. Yeah, then maybe sometimes I'll pray for a little while. Then I'll get up and I'll read some of God's Word. Read His Word. Let Him speak to me a little bit. Sometimes I'll sing Him songs. I'll praise Him. I like to sing God is so good. But I change it around because it's just me and Him, and it'd be kind of weird if I'm singing and I'm saying, God is so good. There's nobody to tell that to. So I say, God, You're so good. God, You're so good. God, You're so good. You're so good to me. I was just praising the Lord. That's praising the Lord. So you sing a little bit. And sometimes I just like to lay prostrate before Him, just in His presence, and just be still and know that He is God. And just lie there in worship of Him. And really, when you do all those things, the time can really fly. And maybe you have to go, meet somebody or something, and you have to cut it short. But oh, it's so important for you. And these are just methods that I use. But why don't you get with God and find out what He likes you to do? Why don't you just talk to Him a little bit? Why don't you read His Word? read his word, and maybe, yeah, read your devotional book along with it, and all these things. But I know this, that they that worship him must worship him in spirit. And we are so disconnected from that spiritual realm because of this flesh. We're so disconnected so many times from the Holy Spirit's guiding, from what he wants to do in our lives, and from where he speaks to us in the still, small voice. And you know what I'm talking about when God speaks to you. It's not, Joe, you know, way down there. He just tugs on your heart. You feel it. God wants me to go do this. It's the same thing when he said, hey, go give $20 to that homeless guy, or go tell that person about the Lord. One time I went on a hike, and I'm closing now. I've preached too long, but I went on a hike up into the Rocky Mountains, and I went on a trail, and I noticed there was a mother and her two young boys, and I was just beginning. I was taking the personal evangelism class at my college, where they're teaching you how to lead people to the Lord, and the teacher said, "Pray that the Lord would give you opportunities to witness." And so that morning I'd been praying, God, give me an opportunity to witness to somebody today. And it was at that time when I was getting back into witnessing, and it was kind of awkward still for me. And, you know, and so I went by him, and God did it. He said, go speak to them. Go tell them about me. And so I guess what I did? I went right by him, and I didn't say anything. And I got about 20 feet, and I just had a wonderful time of prayer up in the mountains. And I even remember I read the book of Ephesians, and I was just up there asking God to use me, asking God to fill me with His Holy Spirit. And man, He spoke to me as I was walking away and just said, wait a minute, you were just asking me to use you. You were just asking me for someone to witness to, and here I've provided for them, and you won't even go witness to them. And I turned around and I went up to the lady, and I noticed she had one of the tracks. I left tracks along the signs as I was hiking, you know, that told you what the different things were. She had one of the tracks, and it was Thanksgiving Day, in fact, and she was telling me about it, and I was like, I went up to her and I said, man, isn't Thanksgiving great, and especially great if you have a God to thank for all the wonderful things He's given you. And she's like, yes, that's great. And I'm like, oh, maybe she knows Jesus. And so I went through the track and she was answering all the right questions. Yes, I've been saved. Yes, I've been saved. And I said, oh, okay. Well, I said, well, actually, before all that, I told her a little bit, and I said, can I show you out of God's Word how you can be saved? And she said, I already know Jesus as my Savior. She said, but my two little boys don't. And I don't know how to tell them how to get saved. Would you show them out of God's Word how to get saved? So I sat the two little boys down and I took them through the Romans Road, and both of those two little boys got saved. So, you know, God does speak to us. He speaks to us. And, you know, as we try to make it sound crazy or something along those lines, well, let me tell you, this book is full of things that people think is crazy. People think the miracles of this book. Think about it with me. The Apostle Paul, and he's standing there before Festus, and Festus is telling him that Jesus appeared before him and was so bright that he lost his vision. And right away Festus say, much learning doth make thee mad. He said, you're crazy. This book is full of crazy things in the eyes of this world, and miracles of God that are wonderful things. But wait a minute. See, a big part of the problem also is just a lack of faith on our part. We think, and really a lot of people are just Gnostic in the way they live, that there is a God, but He can't be known. Let me tell you, that's a lie. Let me tell you, you personally can know Him in a personal way. You can know God. You can know Him. And the power of His resurrection, Paul said, and the fellowship of His suffering. You can know His power, and you can know just how much He loves people. We were talking about it today at lunch, and how really it's when you get close to God that you get a burden for souls. It's when you see people for how God sees them that you get a burden for souls. You see lost sinners that are going to go to hell, and God loves them and doesn't want it to happen. You see it when once you start seeing them the way that God sees them, it just changes it all for you. But the only way to see them as God sees them is to get to know God in spirit and in truth through His Word and on your face before Him. And it's amazing how many Christians don't do that. They read this book and they fill their head full of knowledge, and that's exactly where it stays. And that's exactly, it's just knowledge. It's just facts to them. But you have to be a hearer of the Word and a doer also. So are we both hearing and doing tonight? What good does it do to learn all this unless we're going to practice what's being preached? Unless we're going to practice what's in the Word of God. Oh, Christian, I just wish that we would just get a fervent fire in our heart, that we would just get a true hunger and thirst after God. It would change everything for you. It would change your life to truly hunger and thirst after God, to seek after Him with fervency. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. And Father, we come before You, and I pray, Lord, we saw the verses where Your men said to the people, "Seek the Lord." We saw the verses where Your men said to their sons, "Seek the Lord." We saw where Paul said that you can know God, you can seek Him. We saw where Paul said, "I just want this thing, this one thing, to know God." Oh, there should be a burning desire in every Christian's heart. A burning desire that's so strong, it drives them on a daily basis to their knees. It drives them on a daily basis to Your Word. And on a daily basis, it drives them just to worship You, to have fellowship with You, and a relationship with You. Oh, God, I know Satan doesn't want this to happen. He doesn't want Your people to be on fire for You. He doesn't want Your people to seek after You, to pursue after You, because He knows all the good things that happen when that takes place, all the souls that are going to be saved, all the lives that are going to be changed through one person that's sold out to You, to one person that is seeking after You, Father, with all their heart. He hates to think of the consequences of that for Him. Someone with Your power in their life, someone with Your help in their life, it means he loses. Oh God, I pray for the Christians tonight to not just take this service as another service of the week, but I pray that they would come and worship You and fall on their face and weep, God, and say, "Lord, I'm sorry for not searching after You with all my heart. I'm sorry, Lord, for my lack of desire to know You, to know my Creator." And I pray that they would ask You to put in their heart a desire to search after You, a desire to know You. And I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you'd stand to your feet, we're going to have a time of invitation, and I'm going to open up this altar. If you want to come, you can come up, or you can be there, sit in the place, kneel in the place where you're sitting, and just pray and ask God to help you with what's been preached tonight as we give an invitation, preacher.